Let's open with hymn number 25. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies. Cut them off in thy truth, O Lord.
Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who hast bountifully given us thy blessing and our daily bread, we beseech thee preserve us from covetousness, and so quicken our hearts that we willingly share thy blessed gifts with our needy brethren, that we may be found faithful stewards of thy gifts, and abide in thy grace when we shall be removed from our stewardship, and shall come before thy judgment, through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this ninth Sunday after Trinity is found in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, the first through the ninth verse. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord hath made all for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will be unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. Our epistle is found in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 6th through the 13th verse. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things were written, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Here ends the epistle lesson. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Hallelujah. Gospel is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 9th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 430. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 9th verse. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you may no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking away my stewardship from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home.'" Here ends our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before us lies a perplexing text. Not because what Jesus says is unclear in any way, but because we cannot imagine that Jesus means what he says. Jumping right into the application of this parable, we hear him say, "Make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." It is perplexing because at first it would seem to be saying that you are supposed to use your money and wealth to make friends, and that somehow this will help you in heaven. But when we acknowledge that this is indeed what Jesus wants us to do, then it is no longer perplexing at all. It is great wisdom, and it is God's love at work in us poor sinners who are made holy by Jesus' blood and merit. Unrighteous mammon, simply put, are this world's goods. They're every earthly possession, provision, and talent that God gives to men. You all have goods in this world, and Jesus makes plain that all that you have is not yours, but it is God's. God, in the parable, is the rich man. You are a steward. And ultimately, you must find yourself in the same condition as the unjust steward. God is going to call you to account for your stewardship of his goods, and you too will find that you have wasted your Lord's possessions. Jesus does not mix words. What you do today with God's things matters. It matters in the world to come. For Scripture is plain, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And it matters here on earth. 1 John 3:17 says, "Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" What did the unjust steward actually do with his master's goods? Well, he did not use them in the way that the master wanted them used. He did not work to increase them. He managed the debts owed his master poorly.
he wasted his master's goods. And the steward knows this. He knows the accusation is true. When the master comes demanding an accounting, the steward knows he's guilty. He doesn't argue. He does not become indignant, saying, "Well, how dare he accuse me after all I've done for him?" He gets his rear in gear and he goes into damage control because he has little time left. He is certain that he's going to be put out of the stewardship. It's a foregone conclusion. And so he behaves in a manner which Jesus calls shrewd. He calls all of his master's debtors together. And acting on behalf of his master, he forgives a portion of all of their debts. Now, the steward had no moral right to do this, but he had the legal right. So long as the stewardship was still his, he could forgive the debts of his master's debtors. And that decision was legally binding. The master could not go back and demand the full debt. And so you would expect, in fact, that if the stewardship was not in trouble enough already, he had really cooked his goose now, and he'd burned his bridges to ashes. But this is not what happens. You would think the rich man would go ballistic, but instead he commends the unjust steward for acting so shrewdly. You see, the unjust steward reasoned that he was already done for. He may as well at least make friends of his master's debtors, so that when his master put him out, because he could not beg and he could not dig, in other words, he couldn't be a day laborer, at least these people would receive him into their houses. It was a very shrewd move indeed. Now we come back to the conclusion of Jesus. Just when we expect Jesus to tell us how wicked this unjust steward was, he tells you and me, "I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." With these words, Jesus joins the earthly with the spiritual. And we see that in this parable, the rich man is none other than God himself. And indeed, Jesus is telling us, you go and do the same thing that the unjust steward did. You take my goods, the goods I have entrusted to your care, and you give them away too. You go and you show mercy and compassion. You go and give and make friends with your giving by showing kindness to those who are in need, to the poor, to the hungry, to the sick. Yes, these people are debtors to me, but I'm telling you to go and take my goods and show kindness and compassion to them. Love them with the things that I have given you. And indeed, in the kingdom of God, that is exactly what we were supposed to be doing all along. As it is with so many of the parables, they run contrary to our human expectations. We were supposed to be using God's riches to help those who have less. And that is what God wants of us when we are good stewards. This is the kind of stewardship he desires, but how very poor we've been in fulfilling our duties. Jesus says that the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Consider how true that is. Think about the super rich, people like Bill Gates or Ted Turner. They are extravagantly rich. They could give money away all day and night and never run out. And they do give away vast sums of money to charitable causes of every kind. And think of all the business owners who support their local charities in your community. And they gain for themselves a good name. They make friends by helping others, even though they are what Jesus calls them, the sons of this world. And all that they do is only shrewd for their generation. Self-preservation and greed motivates the sons of this world to give money and to show compassion. And in their generation, they are wiser than the sons of light, wiser than Christians. They outpace us in giving and compassion. But it is only in their generation, because their time will come to an end, and all of their charity will be no more. And it will not help them in the life to come. Their works will not follow them to the grave, because in truth, in spite of all the good that they did, their heart was still evil. They were not sons of the light. But it is entirely different with the sons of light. These are already righteous. These believe on Jesus, and they have a place prepared for them in heaven. And therefore, they have no ability or need to do good to their neighbor just to gain entrance into eternal life. Their everlasting home has already been prepared. And it was not prepared by any work that they had done, any charitable giving, but by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is why they are called sons of light by Jesus, rather than sons of the world. Unlike the sons of this world, the good works of Christians do follow them into the everlasting habitations of heaven. Our works here on earth have real meaning, especially because they cannot earn us a place in heaven. We have been washed in our baptism. We have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and we are pure and white because Jesus has paid for all our debt against God. And therefore, the works which we do are like the icing on the cake. Our motivation to do them is no longer selfishness or fear, but love. And therefore, they are good works indeed. But even here, the children of this world and in their generation are wiser than Christians. They shrewdly marshal all their resources so that they can win friends and influence people before their time here is up. They are better businessmen. They are better at charity than we are. But how much greater is our motivation? All those friends which we make for the kingdom of heaven by our works of kindness, because the friends which we make for this kingdom of heaven will be there when we fail this world, when we die and are buried. They will be there in heaven, pointing to our kindness and charity as evidence of the love of God which is in us by faith in Jesus Christ. Friends made here on earth in the kingdom of God are friends forever in heaven. And indeed, there will be one friend especially among them there who will look at every work of kindness and love which we performed for the poor and the needy and say, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me." For we, above all people, have the greatest motivation to do good, far greater than the mere desire to be popular, to have friends, and to gain favors. We ourselves are great debtors of the Father in heaven. There is no debt on earth so great as the debt that we owe by our sins to God. The debt we owe is vastly greater than oil or wheat or the Federal Reserve notes owned by the greatest debtor on earth, the U.S. government. Yes, the debt of our sins vastly exceeds the multi-trillion dollar debt which we hear about so often in the news. And yet, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who did not say, "Take your bill and sit down and write 50 so that we only have a few trillion to pay." No, he took the bill, and he paid with something vastly more valuable than unrighteous man. He paid the bill with his body and blood. And all that debt he has paid and all of your bill is now zero, paid in full, so that you have the absolute certainty that when your earthly life fails, you will have an everlasting home waiting for you. And because this is so, you more than all other men have reason to give away the unrighteous mammon to help your brother who has need. God does not ask you to give away all that you have, even your living, so that you must starve and be homeless. And yet, what if he did? You, of all people, have nothing to fear from hunger and homelessness, because you are never homeless when heaven is your home. And you are never hungry when you have the bread of life, which is Jesus and his word, and an even greater feast awaiting you at life's end. Well then, how much easier it is then to give of our excess, to give to those in need when God has blessed us above and beyond our needs. The unrighteous mammon here below is small and paltry
compared to the riches that will be ours in eternal life. Let us, therefore, labor as good stewards of our Master's goods. Show mercy and compassion to those who are in need, and love one another with the love which God has shown us in His Son, Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for our sins and made us fit to be partakers with all the saints in light. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. May we thy bounties thus as stewards true receive, and gladly as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give. Almighty and everlasting God, who searchest all hearts and knowest all thoughts, grant us now, as we approach the throne of thy grace, true humility and penitence. Do not remember the sins of our youth, or our many transgressions, but according to thy tender mercies and for the sake of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, pardon our iniquity. By the indwelling of thy Holy Spirit, save us from lusting after evil things, from idolatry, from immorality, from unbelief, or other great and shameful sins. Grant us steadfast faith in every trial, that we may in no wise test thy patience by murmuring, complaint, or doubt. Lead us not into temptation, but strengthen us by thy power to withstand it in the evil day, and finally be delivered from the reach of the tempter's arm. Grant unto us true understanding of thy word, so that we may be guided in all judgment, and be shown the way that leads to everlasting life. Keep before us the warning and admonition of the law. Enable us to learn from it what we ought to do and what thou hast forbidden and will punish. And help us to obey thy commandments with joy. We thank thee for all thy benefits. Help us to use with faithful stewardship all that you have bestowed upon us, being heartily grateful for thine unfailing goodness and deeply conscious that thou wilt call us one day to give an account of our stewardship. O Lord, remember the covenant thou hast made with thy people. Provide for them pastors who shall lead them to the spiritual rock, Jesus Christ, that they may drink from the living fountain the pure water of eternal life. Preserve them from all who would beguile them with false words, and keep them from all heresy, schism, or false religion. Keep our country within thy care, that honor and integrity may be upheld, and that all lawlessness may be put down.
All especially do we entreat thy favor upon all our rulers, that they may be endowed with wisdom to govern after thy good pleasure. Guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and godliness, and may rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness. We pray for all who are ill or who are in danger of body or soul, for all who are anxious or suffering disappointment. Be thou present with them in their affliction. Show them the way out of all their troubles and save them for thy mercy's sake. Heavenly Father, who didst not spare thy Son, but freely delivered him up for us all, mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions which thou readest in our hearts, in thy name. Amen. We sing hymn number 437. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, holy.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Take and eat. This is the the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, now how blessed thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, with which thou hast prepared me.
Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 52.
Jesus Christ our King. hearts and voices raise loud thanksgivings to our God.
The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.